Hello, welcome back. We're now going to discuss our case for opening salvo in the negotiable instruments. And this case really discusses the meaning and elements of commercial paper, of negotiable instruments. And it's a case which has got rather a bizarre but interesting set of facts. It's known as Manhattan Savings versus New York National Exchange Banks. It's really an argument between banks, and it resulted as a consequence of a bank robbery, and what it meant to have bearer paper and holders in due course. Well, what happened here was that the city of Yonkers in this case took place in 1902, and in 1896, the city of Yonkers issued bonds. And what bonds are, when a corporation or a community, in this case the city of Yonkers, issues bonds, what a bond is, it is a financial instrument whereby the issuer, in this case the city of Yonkers, will borrow money from people who buy these bonds and agree to pay it back at a specified rate of interest at a maturity date. So when you buy a corporate bond, you'll give the corporation, say, $10,000, and they'll give you $10,000 plus a certain rate of interest that will be payable on X date. So they'll pay you not only the $10,000 you gave them, plus the interest. Well, the same thing are true with municipal bonds. And that's what Yonkers did. And this is a way that municipalities could borrow in order to do public works projects. And the city of Yonkers wanted to do public works projects at this time. And in 1896, they issued bonds in order to be able to borrow money to be able to do these public works projects. And they said the bonds would be payable with a certain rate of interest to a certain person who bought them. And you could be a registered owner of those bonds, that the community would, in this case Yonkers, take your name when you purchased that, and that they would be payable to your name at the time that the bonds matured. So these bonds were issued in 1896, and they were issued to Manhattan Savings Bank. Manhattan Savings Bank bought them as an investment. Because banks buy investments in order to be able to pay interest on deposits and to be able to have investments to be able to make money for their depositors and their investors, because people will invest in banks because banks are a commercial enterprise generally. Unless you're a credit union, a bank is a public company that generally looks to make money. So one of the things they do is they have investments, and this Manhattan Savings Bank looked to be able to have investments. So they bought these bonds from the city of Yonkers, and they were the registered owner. The bonds that they had, and there were 10 bonds in question here. And as a result of that, these 10 bonds, which had serial numbers on them, were issued to, and when I say issued, they were sold to Manhattan Savings Bank. Now, they were not paid to the order of Manhattan Savings Bank. For some reason, that was left off, whether it was because Manhattan Savings Bank wanted to make that and transfer these negotiable instruments, these bonds, which are negotiable instruments, to a third party. Nobody knows. That was not raised in the lawsuit, but the bonds themselves became what we call bearer bonds because of the fact that no payee was inserted on the payee line. Now, you would think Manhattan Savings Bank, if they bought them for an investment, would have written that in, but they didn't. They kept them in their bank football when they purchased them, and there was a burglary, and someone stole these bonds. And as a result of that, these bonds disappeared. Now, a number of years later, after this occurred, these bonds ended up 16 years later in the possession of a guy by the name of Pell. And Pell used these bonds, took these bonds to the New York National Exchange Bank and put them down, gave the bonds over to National Exchange as collateral for loan. And he took the money from the loan and gave the bonds to New York National Exchange Bank. Well, Manhattan Savings Bank found out that the New York National Exchange had this commercial paper, these bonds, that was stolen out of their vault. And they sued them and said, hey, look it, those are our bonds. National Exchange Bank said, no, they're not. We're a holder in due course. We had no knowledge that Mr. Pell, who was the person who had these bonds, who gave them to us in good faith as pledge, that we took them in good faith as pledge on collateral. They did not have a payee on them. We're not under any duty to investigate who was the owner of them because they're bearer paper. He took them and pledged them for a loan, which he's entitled to do. Now, whether he took them in bad faith is irrelevant. The fact that you're the registered owner, again, is irrelevant. We took these as holders in due course. These bonds are negotiable instruments, they claim. We're a holder in due course. We meet the requirements. And let me go back to the requirements for a minute. I'm a holder in due course. They gave value for the instrument. Remember, they gave a loan. They used them to pledge collateral on a loan. They gave them the money on the loan to this Mr. Pell. They took those bonds in good faith. They had no knowledge the instrument would not be paid on when they reported it back into and had them cashed in at the city of Yonkers, who were the party that would pay them. And they had no knowledge that they were overdue because they weren't. And they had no knowledge of any defenses on the instrument. They took these items as the holder in due course. Now, as a result of that, the Manhattan Exchange, the Manhattan Savings Bank, could not say that these instruments were theirs. Now, could Manhattan have sued Pell? Perhaps. Perhaps. They don't know, and the case doesn't say whether Pell was the person who stole them, whether Pell knew that they were stolen and actually got them from somebody else. Was he a holder in due course that took them from somebody else? The case doesn't say that. So when this case was decided, the question is a defendant who obtained good title as the pledgee of these bonds that are the question, and there were 9 of 10 bonds here that were in question, were they a holder in due course? The court said, yes, they are. And as a result of this, they said these were negotiable instruments. These bonds were negotiable instruments. Why? They are, a bond is a promissory note. It's a promise to pay in this case, the bearer, because the name wasn't filled in. Now, had Manhattan Savings Bank had its name filled in as a payee, this case would have been different. Why? They wouldn't have been a holder in the National Exchange Bank, wouldn't have been a holder in good course because there was no endorsement on the back of the bond from Manhattan Savings Bank. Because it was bearer paper, it didn't have to be. Okay? It was merely endorsed by Powell. Okay? Who was the bearer of the paper. So all they had to do, they endorsed it from Powell. Powell endorsed it over to New York National Exchange. They become a holder in due course. It didn't require the endorsement of Manhattan Savings Bank, right? Because it was bearer paper. Now, had they had their name on it, filled in as payee, then it would have been required for them to endorse it. But they didn't have that line. It was blank. And that's what it turned on. The fact that New York National Exchange took this as a holder in due course, Manhattan Savings couldn't say, give those back. Now, they weren't without recourse. They could have gone after Powell. They could have tried to find out from Powell in a lawsuit, who did Powell get it from, and go after them. But at the end of the day, they went after the people who held the bonds, and the court said, no, negotiable instruments are too important for commerce. When we have a bona fide holder, which is a holder in due course, who has received it in the possession without defective title, the holder has the capacity to have title because he is the apparent holder of the instrument. So as a result, in such case, the title and possession are inseparable and the legal presumption attaches to the party in possession who holds the instrument of value, meaning Pell gave that to them. They believe and they took it in good faith. And as a result of that, that this is a good transaction. And it talks about there is no middle term between negotiability and non-negotiability before acquiring good titleable in negotiable instruments. It would be necessary for a person to make that inquiry in the regular chain of bona fide holders. However, in this case, they do not have to. The theory of negotiable instruments and the currency from hand to hand, like banknotes, which this is a promissory note from a municipality, rests upon the proposition that they appear to belong to the person having them in possession and no one else. And the person who had possession of it was Powell. And as a result, because it didn't have a payee written in its bearer paper, and they could have taken it. They took it, being in the National Exchange Bank, took it in good faith. They were a holder in due course and entitled to keep the commercial paper and get payment on the same. Hope you liked it. Next time we wrap up our very last class, class 13, our final discussion on holders in good due course and commercial paper, negotiable instruments. Thanks so much for watching.